Luke 23, verse 40, page 1262 in this Bible. 1262, Luke 23, verse 40. The other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? Now we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of that which we have done. But this man," that's Jesus, "has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 15, it's in the same gospel, Luke 15, and it's on page 1248 and verse 17. Luke 15, verse 17. "And coming to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine? I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' He rose up and he went to his own father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondman, Bring out the best robe, clothe him in it, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found.'" And then just finally in Luke 2. Luke 2, page 1222. Luke 2 and verse 16. Luke 2. Verse 16. "And they came with haste and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger." Apparently, when somebody talks like this in education or in a gospel or in church or in politics, you only remember 11% of what they say. So you might wonder, why don't I just give a very brief message, and I'll be quick. But you see, the 11% that's for you might not be the 11% for the person sitting beside you. So we need to talk a little bit. I also want you to remember this. If you don't get anything, if this is your 11% tonight, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Everyone in this room, Jesus loves you. Children, Jesus loves you. Parents, Jesus loves you. How has he shown that he loves you? It says in this Bible, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." He couldn't have shown how much he loved you. He couldn't have done it in any other way. He couldn't have shown you in any other way. He couldn't have shown you in a better way, in a fuller way, in a greater way. He couldn't have done it other than giving his life for you. And that is what he's done. Just, if that's the only bit for you, take it with you, that Jesus loves you and that he died for you. I want to take you back to August 23 this year. I was in a church, Baptist church, not far from here, and it was a sad day, and I don't want to upset anybody, but we were at a funeral for a lovely and wonderful man called Bernard. August 23, and I sat in the hall, the coffin was there, there were lots of people, some people standing. We had lovely hymns, we had lovely tunes, and one of the things I learnt about that man was that his favourite hymn was "Just As I Am." And I sat there in that hall thinking about tonight. I thought, oh dear, I've got to do the Christmas message in Basildon. What can I talk about? And those words just came back, back and back. "Just As I Am." And I know if Bernard was here tonight, he'd be thrilled. Just to see so many people in this room, so many hearts, so many lives. And what touched the heart of Bernard was "Just As I Am." Bernard had come to Jesus just as he was. I've come to Jesus just as I was. And that's what tonight's all about, is that you would come tonight just as you are. No airs and graces. Nothing special about you. And I've read of three groups of people. The first one in Luke 23, who was on a cross. He was a murderer. He was a sinner. He rightly, justly got what he deserved. He was nailed to a cross because he'd done awful things in his life. And there beside him is Jesus, also on a cross. And this man says to Jesus, "But you've done nothing wrong." How true that is. He says another thing. He says to his friend, he says, "Do you not fear God?" Obviously, that man that was on the cross did fear God. And he says to the person, Jesus, next to him, he says, "You've done nothing wrong." That's another point to get. You fear God, you realize that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And he says that we indeed justly, he had every reason to be there. That sinner, that man that had murdered, that man that had done wrong, had every reason to be on that cross. But he says to Jesus, "You've no reason to be here." And he says to Jesus, "For we receive the just recompense of what we have done, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom." This man was dying. He was pinned to a cross. Couldn't do a thing. Absolutely stuck. What could he do to get to heaven? What could he do to do right? And he does what every Christian does. He says, "I've done wrong. You've done right." And he says, "Remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus was there dying. He was dying for that man beside him. He was dying for you. That's what he was doing on that cross. I don't know whether that makes sense, whether you can understand it or grasp it, just that little bit. Jesus was there for you. He was on that cross. He'd done nothing wrong, but he willingly went that way for you and for me. And he bore your sins in his body on the tree. He shed his precious blood to wash away your sins. He went into the grave and he rose again. This man says, "Remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom." He had an idea that Jesus was coming back. He was going to be raised. Not, "This is it, Lord. We've only got 3 more minutes left." No, "Remember when you come back, when you come in your kingdom. Remember me, Lord." You know, Jesus is alive. We worship a living Saviour. Friend, do you know him? "Just as I am." That man could do nothing to get to heaven. He'd done all the things wrong that you could imagine, that you could list. You see, people think religion is about doing good. It's about paying money. It's about being righteous, being good, all those things. But you know, you come just as you are. And that man beside Jesus had no option. He came just as he was. And what does Jesus say? "Today you'll be with me." There's living proof. There's written proof that that's all you need to do for salvation, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's one answer. Luke 15. Now, what can you do? Sorry, go back to Luke 23. I will be brief. Luke 23. What can you do for a dying person? I'm a photographer, and it's very seasonal work. So the winter time, it all drops off, and it's all tough. Tough at home. Bills come in, don't they? They carry on coming, and you still need to earn. So I do some, ever since lockdown, I do some food deliveries. Frozen food, and you knock at fancy houses and you deliver these big boxes and parcels for their Christmas dinners and their parties, and it's all rather lovely. Sometimes you go to tough homes, tougher homes. It's not all perfect, it's not all wonderful. Sometimes it's it's unpleasant. Sometimes we go to a homeless shelter and we deliver food to them. Two years ago, I'd met a man, and he was active. He was a grandfather. He told me his story, a happy man. His house was perfect. I went there yesterday, 2 years since. And he was frail. He was yellow. He was ill. I was such a shock. And I said, "Hello, how are you?" He said, "I'm not well. I don't know how long I've got." What can you do for a dying man? You know, a big pile of food goes into his freezer. What can you do? Just say, "Hope it goes okay. Believe in luck, star signs, lottery." What does it mean? What have you got? What can you give a dying man? What did Jesus give that man in Luke 23? He gave him hope. He gave him life. He gave him a future, life, and he gave him eternity. You'll be with me, he says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know that gentle, frail grandfather? I said to him, "This isn't company protocol, but I just want to give you a hug." And that's what I did. And I said, "I tell you what else I want to do. I want to pray with you. And I will pray for you." What can you give a dying man? What did Jesus do? He gave him life. Luke 15. You might say, "Well, I'm not dying. It doesn't apply to me. I'm okay. I've got life ahead." Maybe you have. We don't know, do we? But Luke 15 is a story of a man who had completely messed up. Absolutely messed up his life. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things. He comes to himself, he realises he's done wrong, he's messed up. He comes to the Father. Before he actually says anything, the Father runs, puts his arm round him, filled with compassion, fell upon his neck, covered him with kisses. And then the son says, "Father, I've sinned." You might say, "Well, that man on the cross doesn't apply to me." But this does. Luke 15 does. Because we've all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. And you know, if this verse, these verses, is for anybody, it's for you, friend. Luke 15. Read it. You might think you're too bad to get into the presence of God. You've done too many things wrong. You've got a big long list like this younger son had. You might be like the older son, as you read in the verses later on. He was too good. He'd done it all right. He was perfect. But was he? We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's why I love a gospel preaching. You know, we're all just on the same level. All of us. Every one man jack of us. We're all sinners. And we need a saviour. And there's only one, and his name's Jesus. So this man decided he'd been feeding swine, pigs, and he'd got fairly dirty, I can imagine. He was probably very smelly. And along he comes to his father, and he's got a plan in his head. And then the father sees him and he runs. Friend, it's like you tonight. Do you know, if you just turn in your heart to Jesus, and that's all you can do, just as you are, God will accept you. And he'll put his arms around you. And he'll love you. And he'll love you forever. I'm proof of that. I had messed up my life. I really, really had messed up. I was going away. I didn't believe in God. I wanted nothing to do with him. And then Luke 15, one night, was read in a gospel preaching like tonight. And it changed my life. I was that black sheep. I was the lost sheep. And God stooped down and picked me up and put me on his shoulders. And he's never, ever let me go. And that can be yours. But you have to come just as you are tonight. No airs and graces. You can't do this. You can't pay money for it. You can't be right. You can't be all the things that the world would want you to be.
wealthy, I don't know what else it is that you might need, you think you might need. None of it, remove it all. Come just as you are, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. So this dirty younger son comes along, comes to his father with his plan, and God says, forget it, I love you. And what does he do? Two things. He does lots of things. I want to talk about two things. He put a ring on his hand. Now this younger son had taken the father's money. It was pretty serious. He basically wanted his father dead. And he said, look, before you die, I can't wait. I want all your money. So he gave him what he was due from the will. And this younger son went away, spent it all, wasted it, ruined. Comes back. And the father gives him a ring. What happens with the ring? It's time to stop. What happens with the ring? The ring, apparently, in the old times, was put in wax in the marketplaces. So if you went to buy some corn, a big bag of corn, and you didn't have the money, you'd put your ring in the wax. And that was unique to you. You would know. And your father would normally pay for the price of that. What about the sandals? You see, the servants, they didn't have shoes. But God says, bring out the best robe, give him shoes. No way are you going to be a servant. You are a son. And this is the guy that had messed up. This is the guy that had come from the feeding the pigs. This is the guy that had done absolutely everything wrong. And God absolutely loves him. Friend, it's not just a person on a page in the Bible. It's you. God absolutely loves you. Whatever you've done in your life that's wrong, or however messed up you are, God absolutely loves you. And he wants to make you a son in his house. And friend, it's up to you. But you must come just as you are. I'll finish. Luke 2. These are shepherds. Isn't it incredible? There's a verse in Isaiah that says, God will come himself and save you. God himself. Not only will he come to this earth, but he'll come himself and he'll save you. And who finds out? You see, the birth of Jesus had been, prophets had talked about it, kings had talked about it. It's in the verses of the Bible over and over again. Unto us a son is born. There's so many verses that this person, this baby, would come. And here's the moment. Absolutely fabulous, isn't it? And they came. So the shepherds are out in the fields, keeping watch by night. And an angel comes, and there's glory, and there's glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men. And they said, let us make our way there now as far as Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. Don't put tonight off. Don't put coming to Jesus off. Do it now. Do it right now. How do you do it? People say you need to come to Jesus. What does that mean? We can't go to Bethlehem. Well, you can. A bit dangerous at the minute. How do you do it? I'll tell you how I did it. I just prayed. I just prayed. And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a messed up sinner. And you're perfect. And you gave your life for me. And you shed your precious blood for me. And you live in heaven. And I want you to come into my heart. And do you know what? I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. I did feel joy. I did feel relief. And then somebody said to me that evening, what's happened to you? You've changed. That's what happens. Jesus will change your life. He will. Try it. Just as you are. Let him in. You need him. Imagine standing, and there's a verse, scary verse in Revelation, that you stand in the presence of God, and there's no place found for you. You will have to flee from the presence of God. It's no good then being just as you are in your sins. Friends, just as you are now, come to Jesus. Open your heart to him. He'll love you, and he'll never, ever let you down. These shepherds, who does this moment? Jesus coming, God himself coming. Who gets the first viewing? You got Joseph, you got Mary. Who's going to come and see this baby? This precious baby. This saviour of the world. Who's going to come? Kings? Politicians? Beckhams? Kardashians? Who's going to come? The great wealthy people of the day? Who's going to come? The shepherds. What did they say? Oh, do you know what? I need to do something better. I need to pay some money to the church. I need to go and have a shower. You know what it's like when Amazon come, don't you? Goodness. The things you see when you deliver for Amazon. You knock on the door and there's people in various states of dress. They're not ready. Same as me. I'm often in my pyjamas when the Amazon man comes, and it's quite awkward, isn't it? Just as I am. So the shepherds, what chance had they got? Did they say, oh, we'll go home, we'll get cleaned up? I'm a bit woolly, a bit smelly, a bit sheepy. They came just as they were. And what did they find? What did they do? It says they glorified God. They gave praise to God because of that little baby that was in the manger. That's Jesus. They came just as they were. That's all I want to say.